here to speak about you today. So, Father, we do thank you that we could still meet and talk about you and worship you. In Jesus' name, glory to the King.
Amen.
So, I'll give you a quick little evolution thing. The United States government spends billions of dollars on military assets. Okay? Radar, anti-radar, all kind of things here. Yet there's a little tiny moth about the size of a quarter that can actually hear radar signals. Now, how we developed that, I have no idea, because it took us years to develop radar and how to detect it. But then there's another little thing, he's about that big. He sends out radar signals. He flies at night, it's called a bat. So the bat sends out radar signals, and this little tiny moth hears the radar signals. Now, how did these two little creatures develop that kind of technology on their own? Don't have any idea, but over millions of years, they developed the ability to send radar signals, and the other one developed the ability to hear the radar signals. Except there's only one flaw. According to evolution, the moth was here millions of years before the bat. So that begs the question of, why did the bat have to develop radar hearing technologies when there wasn't any radar? Oopsies. Oopsies, evolution made a little mistake. Okay? You don't develop radar hearing technology if there's no radar. Okay? So at any rate, just another little flaw in the theory of evolution. So today we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about who is he? What does he do? Does he do anything at all? What is he? Is it the force? Luke, use the force. Is he a force that's just out there controlling everything that we don't really know who he is, what he does? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to scratch the surface a little bit today on what he does and who he is. So who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? There's a lot of questions. Today we're going to take a look at it. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Ghost is the most misunderstood person in Christianity today. Many associate him with only signs and wonders, visions and tongues. However, when we rightly divide the word of truth, we discover the distinct ministry of the Holy Spirit in this dispensation age of grace. So he has a specific role, and he has a specific thing that he's going to do. Under dispensationalism, we recognize that while the Holy Ghost worked differently in various times, he doesn't work the same now as he did back then. Back in the early church days, he would come, he would land on somebody, he'd do what he had to do, and he left. Well, he doesn't do that today. His ministry is different today. His present ministry is in the body of Christ, and this is revealed through the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So, that little word right there, grieve, begs a question. Does he have feelings? Well, if you can grieve him, it means he has feelings. So then it kind of makes him more than just a force, because now he has feelings. First point, his personhood. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. The Holy Ghost is not merely a force, not an energy, or an influence. He is a person possessing intellect, emotion, and a will. Oh yeah, he has a will too. He thinks, point A. Each one of these will have a couple sub-points like I like to do. Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he works according to the will of God. He's not out there just doing whatever he wants to do. He works with the will of God. B, does he feel? Well, you can grieve him. So he must have feelings, but let's see what the book says. Ephesians 4:30 again, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So that means he has feelings. Wow. Okay, he has feelings. You can grieve him. He chooses. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one, And the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills. So there again, he has will. He does things the way he wants to do them. So a little insight on this. The Holy Spirit personally ministers to every person in the body of Christ today. Everybody. Back then, it used to be he would land over here, do something, go there, do something. Now he does it for everybody. Point number two, his parity. The Holy Ghost is equal with God. He's not subordinate. He's not in charge. He's not under him. They're equal. The Holy Spirit possesses full deity. A, point A. He is called God. Acts 5, 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, were you not in control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You can lie to men, but not to God. So again, he's calling the Holy Spirit God. Which then brings up a little side point here. If he's God, does he know everything? Yeah. He has all the deity of the Father. We'll get into that later. Point B, is he eternal? Well, God's eternal, so I'm pretty sure he's going to be eternal too, but let's see what the book says. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleansing your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So yes, he is eternal. Point C, is he omnipresent? Psalm 139:7, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can you go that he's not there? Nowhere. He is everywhere, all at the same time. And that's the big difference between him and Jesus. Jesus is not a spirit. If he's sitting here today, he's not in New Haven. The Holy Spirit could be here in New Haven. He could be in India, Japan. He is everywhere, all at the same time. He fills everything, all in all. Where can I go? Or where can I flee from your presence? The Holy Spirit is not a lesser member of the Godhead, but he is fully divine. His penmanship. The Holy Ghost inspired Scripture, so he writes. He thinks, he feels, and he writes. The Holy Spirit inspired Scripture. The Bible is the breathed word through the Spirit-guided men. A lot of people have this argument a lot of times, and they say, well, man wrote the Bible. No, actually, they didn't. Okay, they penned the Bible. There's a difference between authoring it and penning it. If I dictate, if I'm a CEO and I have a secretary, Ann's the secretary, and I say, hey, write this stuff down, blah, 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 blah. Who wrote it, me or her? I wrote it. She just put it on a piece of paper. The Bible was not written by men. It was authored by God. Amen. He directed the writers. 2 Peter 1:21, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They didn't write this on their own. Even when Jesus said, who do you say I am? And he says, Peter says, you were the Christ. He didn't know that. That was just a download right from heaven saying, hey, wow, where'd that come from? He had no idea what he was even talking about. That was downloaded right from the heaven. He delivered truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. His word is the truth. This is not my truth and your truth and his truth. This is the truth. It's the only thing that actually stands up under any kind of scrutiny. You want to look at it. He disclosed the mystery of truth. Ephesians 3:5. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Way back when, before he was after the cross, when he came down here, we were being given stuff that they weren't. The Apostle Paul didn't have the Old Testament or the New Testament. He didn't have the New Testament to go by. We do. He's been showing us things after this fact. He teaches us things. He shows us stuff that the old apostles and prophets didn't have. So that he works differently back then than he does now. The mystery was revealed to Paul by the Spirit. His proclamation. The Holy Ghost testifies of Christ. The Spirit's primary job is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what basically what he does. A, he exalts Christ. Let's take a look at this. John 16:14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So there again, he's our teacher. He takes what God gives him and he gives it to us. He reveals Christ, Ephesians 3:8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So, Holy Spirit downloads it to Paul. Paul gives it to us. The unsearchable things. Without the mind of Christ, we can't search anything. We don't have enough brain to search the kind of the things of the mind of Christ. Only the Holy Spirit, who is God, can search the things of God, because we can't even get close to doing that. He magnifies Christ's finished work. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. When you received it, on which you were taken, which you have taken your stand, by the gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit reveals scriptures to us. He makes it clear. If you're having any doubt and you want a clarification on something, ask him. Ask him. He'll tell you. He's not afraid of your questions. The Spirit never glorifies himself. He always points sinners to Christ. That's what he does. You want to have questions, you want things, you want to know stuff, ask him. His presence. The Holy Ghost indwells believers. Well, just let that sink in for a second. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. He comes to live inside you. He enters at salvation. And there's two different things there. We won't get into the whole thing there, but there's two different things the Holy Spirit does. When you get saved, he comes inside you. But then there's also the infilling of him later on. Okay, that's the first part is just the beginning. Then there's that other thing where you actually become and dwelt with him totally and completely, and you walk with him. That's slightly different than just the getting him out and you become saved. He enters that salvation. Ephesians 1:13-14. In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of that purchased possession to the praise of the glory of his glory. You are a purchased possession. You don't own yourself anymore. Once you accept his forgiveness, you don't exist anymore. You are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. He has possessed you with a price. He paid that price on the cross. You are not your own anymore. We talked about forgiveness the other day, and wow, okay? He has forgiven every single sin that ever has been, will be, or was ever committed. He is willing to forgive every single one of them. You do not have the right to forgive and not to forgive anybody for anything. You've accepted his forgiveness. You can't hold on to that. Somebody wronged you, you have to forgive them. You don't have any choice. Okay? Would God forgive you if you did it and you asked for forgiveness? Yes. So guess what? We are to be imitators of him. So if somebody wronged you and you're holding on to it, you better let it go. Let it go. He already paid the price, so let it go. He abides permanently. Romans 5:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Okay? So if you're not walking in the Spirit, I think I'm going to put myself at the top of this list. I think we better rethink what we're doing. You should be walking in the Spirit on a daily basis, not just, well, we come to church on Sunday and we're good. He makes believers God's temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I didn't say that. That was Paul wrote that. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You are his temple, and you are not your own anymore. You simply can't be your own. He is a holy God, and we are not. We ain't even close to being holy. And when a holy God comes to live inside of you, you are changed, period. And if you're not changed, you better think about what you're doing. Unlike Israel's program, the Spirit permanently indwells believers today. I'm going to take a little side note on that, too. There's a lot of talk about the churches, the new eye, apple of God's eye. Well, I got news for you. We're not. Okay, we've been grafted in, but Israel is the apple of his eye, period. Okay? And all the stuff that's going on, it's all about Israel. Okay? And this is what it's going to take for them to wake up and say, oh, we have missed the boat. His protection. The Holy Spirit seals believers. This is one I've been thinking about a lot. The Spirit guarantees our eternal security. If God seals you, are you sealed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. When you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you are sealed, period. A mark of ownership. Ephesians 1:13-14. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption. Of our purchased possession. Again, you've been purchased. You are possessed by him. You are now belonging to him. You're not your own anymore. Be the promise of redemption. Same thing, Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You've been sealed for the day of redemption. Once he seals you, you're sealed. Period. Proof of security. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The seal of the Spirit confirms that we're secure in him. When God says something, he doesn't do anything halfway. He never, okay? Does Satan have powers? Does he have abilities? Yeah. Did God take him away when he threw him out of heaven? No. He still has abilities. He was the director of music. Okay? And that's why you look at a lot of music, it's satanic. He doesn't take the gifts. Once he gives you a gift, he's not an Indian giver. He does not take them back.
Just on the movie Pilgrim's Progress, when he said you got to stop him, he said he was talking to the demon master. He said, yeah, but he's sealed. He said, yeah, but we can deceive him and do all kinds of things to get him off track. You know, so he won't get to the celestial city, but we can't kill him. We can deceive him and train him and do all this other stuff to kind of to make him mess up himself, but we can't destroy him.
Yeah, you can be deceived. Okay, once you're sealed, it's up to us to maintain that. So you still will be sealed. Now, if you want to get off track, that's easy. That's up to you. Okay, you can watch see.
Yeah.
You can watch CNN, ABC, okay? Any news station, and you can get off track really quick, but you'll still be sealed. And even, what's his name there? Killed his brother in the garden. What did he say? He's been marked. You'll be marked forever. There's a seal on his forehead that you will walk around, and they will see that seal, and they will not touch him. He will wander through the earth forever. Yeah. Cain and Abel. Okay? He's been marked. He walks around the earth with that seal. Oh! Backing off that one. Ain't messing with that one. And when he seals you, you're sealed. In that case, well, it's not for good, but when he sells us, it's for good. Okay? He seals us. Okay? The Holy Ghost, point number seven, the Holy Ghost teaches truth. The Spirit illuminates God's word. That's what it does. John 14, 29. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring into you remembrance of things that I said unto you. So he teaches us, and when you need things, he will bring them back to your memory. That's what he does. He's a teacher, he's a guide, he's an instructor, he's our counselor, yet we don't even talk to him. Most of the time, we don't even know he's even there. A, he gives us understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Well, we have received that. The spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He reveals spiritual truth. 1 Corinthians 2:13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You want to understand spiritual things? Forget it. Shut your brain off. Okay, you want to understand this book? Shut your brain off and let the Holy Spirit explain it to you. That's his job. That's what he does. And guess what? He has a better understanding of it than I do, because he wrote it. He guides through the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. We've already said this, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. So why does he have this book? So we can read something when we're bored, when we have nothing to do? Well, let's read the book for a little bit. No, it's so you will be complete. Your complete means he will equip you for whatever you've been called to do, whatever you've been called to do, whatever you've been called to do, he will give you what you need to accomplish that mission. He equips us, period. He doesn't call the worthy or the righteous or the intelligent. He equips the ones he wants to send. Today, the Spirit teaches through the completed Word of God. His petitioning, the Holy Ghost helps our prayers. The Spirit assists believers in weakness. He intercedes. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession. So since we don't know how to pray and what we should pray and ask for, and he does, and he's God and he lives inside us, maybe we should ask him what to pray for. Because he knows what to pray for and we don't. He understands our hearts. Now, he knows what we go through, right? Jesus knows what we're going through, too, because he went through everything that we ever going to go through. He already went through them, so you can go to him and go, hey. And he says, I know. I've been there. Romans 8:27. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He aligns our prayers with the will of God. Romans 8:27, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So since we don't know what to pray for most of the time, we think we do, but he understands what that is and he makes prayers according to the will of God, maybe we should be inviting the Holy Spirit into our prayer group more often than we do. The Spirit works internally and not through worldly manifestations. It's an internal thing. He lives inside us. We don't need to go out anywhere else to get him. His production. The Holy Ghost produces spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is evidence of the Spirit-controlled living. Now, if you're still out there in the world doing what you do on Monday through Friday and you come to church on Sunday, that's not Spirit-filled living. The first fruit is love. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So if you hate that brother of yours or something else, you better think about what you're doing. Be the fruit of Christ-likeness, verse 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, guarantees guarantees gentleness, self-control. These are all things of the Spirit. Against such thing, there is no law. There is no law against none. We'll just keep going. Fruit of service, Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So what do we do with these things for? For our own good? For your 401k? For your bank account? For your house? No. You have one job here. One thing. Once you accept him, your job is now to glorify him, period. That's why you're here. If we were going to be, if the plan was to get saved and you disappear, we'd be gone. We'd be gone. You get saved, boom, you disappear. That's not why you're here. You have one job, to spread the gospel to the four corners of the earth, period. You don't have any other reason to be here. God's goal is not sensational gifts, but spiritual maturity. Understand why you're here. His provision. The Holy Spirit provides spiritual gifts. The Spirit equips believers for ministry. If he wants you to do something, he's going to equip you to do it. He's not going to send you out on your own when not able to do it. If he wants you to go somewhere and do it, he's going to give you the ability to do it. Gifts are distributed by him. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, so stop wishing you had my gift. Stop wishing you had her gift. And you stop being, oh, I wish I was like him. No. He's given you the gift he's given you because that's the one he wants you to have. If he wanted you to have his gift, he would give it to you. Okay? He's given you the gift that wants you to have for what he's equipped you to do. You hear this a lot. Well, you know, if I had Jim's faith, I would stop. Okay? First of all, everybody in this place has more faith than me. Okay? And if you needed my gift, well, you know, you can't be like me. That's not your job. I can't be like you. If I try to be like you, guess what? It's not going to work because I'm not equipped to do that. Ephesians 4:12, for the equipping of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Gifts are for service. Romans 12:6-8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, that's your gift, then prophesy in proportion to our faith. Prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, then let us use it in our ministry. If you're a teacher, then teach. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, heals, literally, leads, you lead with diligence. He who shows mercy and cheerfulness, show mercy and cheerfulness. These are the gifts. If you're a teacher, then teach. If you're an evangelist, then go evangelize. I don't know what your gift is. That's not what I'm here for. Temporary signs and gifts have ceased. They used to be signs and gifts. He would come and he would go. Like the fleece. Well, Lord, show me the fleece. If the fleece is wet, I know. You flip it over next day. If it's dry, I know. No, that's not the Holy Spirit anymore. He doesn't do that. Okay? He now equips. He edifies the saints to edify the body of Christ. That's what he does. He doesn't show us signs anymore. The Holy Ghost is not merely a doctrine to study, but a divine person who indwells every believer. He seals us, he teaches us, he strengthens us, and equips us for service. When we rightly divide the scriptures reveal that his ministry today centers upon Christ, the completed word of God, and the edification of the body of Christ. Colossians 2:10, and you are complete in him, the head of all principality and power. You're complete. You should lack nothing. If you're a truly born-again believer walking with the Holy Spirit, you are complete as you're going to get. Because he's God. God is complete. So now we're going to take a look at, that's who he is. Now we're going to take a little bit of a look, and this is scratching the surface. We can go much deeper into what he actually does, but for today, we're going to scratch the surface. What does he do? Does he just hang out? Let's take a look. A, trust in his sealing. There again, I love the ceiling. I'm getting more into the ceiling thing. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. B, treasure the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. That's what these scriptures are here for, to make you complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not some of them, every good work. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you're actually walking in the Spirit, you can't be walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit at the same time. Okay? You're either here or you're there. Okay? You can't have one foot over here and one foot over there. You need to make a decision. You're either here or you're over there. The Spirit seals us. The seal signifies divine ownership. After you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He marks us as God's property. Just like Abel had a mark on him, you have a mark on you. Oh, and why does Satan target you? Oh, he sees you've been marked. Uh-oh, mark, I want that one. He doesn't have to go after you in the world. He's already got that. He wants you because you got a mark on you. He wants you because you got a mark on you. He doesn't care about them. He's already got them. He doesn't have to worry about them. He wants you because you've been marked. You are God's property. He hates God and he wants to kill you. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted, and after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. B, he guarantees our inheritance. Ephesians 1:14, who was also the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of the glory of glory. The Spirit of God is the earnest payment. If God paid for your salvation, do you think that's paid in full? Yeah. He didn't make any halfway payment. He doesn't have to do anything else. You don't have to do anything else. In fact, there's nothing else you can do. He has made that promise. He's paid for it. He's bought it. You're his, period. Ephesians 4:30. Who was the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of that purchased possession to the praise of his glory? The believer is sealed until the day of redemption. Back in the days when he had kings, if the king wrote a document and he puts his little seal on it with the ink, and he puts the seal on it, and he gives it to the carrier, that carrier knows, they better not open that baby up. Okay? That's got the seal of the king on it. And if that thing goes to him and that seal is broken, you better know how to run. Okay? When he seals you, you are sealed. The Spirit settles us. Do you ever notice that after you get saved and you start really walking with him, things don't bother you that much anymore? He settles you. The Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. Now, a lot of people hear this all the time. We're all children of God. Wrong answer. No, you're not. We're creations of God. You're not children of God until you accept his forgiveness. Then you become a child of God. Until then, we are just another creation of him. He gives assurance. Romans 8:14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You need to be led by the Spirit to be called a son of God. Okay? The people walking in the world there, they are not sons of God. In fact, the Bible makes it clear. You are of your father, the devil. They're not children of God. They're sons of the devil. B, he removes condemnation, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What's that?
Who walk not after the flesh, but after.
Right, thank you. We don't walk after the flesh. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. Thank you, Ann, but according to the Spirit. When you walk according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation. You walk in the flesh? Well, it might be a little bit different there. He might talk to you slightly differently. The believer stands justified in Christ. He produces confidence. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A child rests securely because he knows who his father is. You ever go in a swimming pool and they got a little tiny kid there and his father's like, come on, come on, jump. And the kid just goes. Why? Because he knows dad's going to catch him. You know who your father is? You can have confidence in who you are because you are now his. The Spirit shows us. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So one of the things the Spirit does is teaches us what he's already given us. Oh, and by the way, you don't have to work for it. You can't work for it. There's nothing you can do to ever work for what he gives us freely. Hey, he illuminates Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:13. These things which we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Well, you can learn from them, or you can learn from God. It's your choice, okay? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You can't understand spiritual things in a normal mind, because your mind isn't spiritual, unless you're walking with the Holy Spirit. You understand spiritual things spiritually. He helps us understand God's word. He reveals grace's truth. Ephesians 3:1 through 9. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, that would be us, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have already written, by which you read, and may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul had a revelation that we don't get. Not many people get knocked off a horse and get the revelation he did. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. It's made known to us now, though. As it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and to the prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift and grace of God, given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. He is God. You can't search him by himself. He's unsearchable. And to make all things known the fellowship of this mystery, from which the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals the hidden things, the riches of God, which we can't even begin to think of what he does and how he does things. How does he create that little moth that has the ability to hear radar signals? How does he create a bat that can put out radar signals that we've spent billions and billions of dollars trying to figure out how to do this, yet he just created him instantly? For this reason, he strengthens our understanding. Colossians 1:9. For this reason, we also, since the day that we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He gives spiritual wisdom. Bible tells you if you lack wisdom, ask. Who are you going to ask? The Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives it. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom. You want wisdom? You want understanding? Ask him, because he's the one that gives it. A flashlight reveals treasures hidden in a dark room. That's what the Holy Spirit does. A room is dark, you can't see anything in it. You turn the light on, whoa, look at that. Whoa, now you get to see what he does. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He will illuminate the dark room for you. The Spirit strengthens us, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. He strengthens us from the inside. He empowers service. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in both in you, both and will, to do his good pleasure. So he empowers you to do his will. He doesn't just send you out there on your own and you just, oh, maybe I'll do something today and that'll please him. No, he sends you out to do his good will. And he empowers you to do it. He enables endurance. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The Spirit helps us to continue faithfully. He produces spiritual growth. Colossians 2:6-7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk with him. You received him, walk with him. Walk with him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So you should be walking with him, thanking him that he has actually called you to be part of his kingdom, that you are a son or a daughter. We should be walking with him in truth and light, and be thankful for the fact that he's called us. He energizes us. You want that radio on? You plug it in. Electricity comes in and empowers up the radio. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does to you. He plugs you in. You're plugged into that energy source. And that's a never-ending energy source. The Spirit sanctifies us. Thessalonians 2:13. But we ought to also thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Sanctification by the Spirit. A, he separates us. Oh yeah, we're separated. Romans 15:16. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, he gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You've been now separated. He produces holy living. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. He transforms our character. I remember the old Jim. Well, that guy doesn't live anymore. Okay, if he ain't transferring your character, you better think about what you're doing. He changes us from the inside. He changes our mind. He changes our heart. And he changes our character. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with everlasting glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. When he says you're a new creation, he's changing you. He's transforming you to be like his son. He doesn't want you to be the same Sheila you were 40 years ago. Okay? He doesn't want that Sheila. He wants the new one. Okay? He wants the one that's being transformed into his image.
Okay?
Yeah. Huh? A sculptor. So how does this look like? How does he transform it? Why you hear the elephant joke? How do you carve out an elephant? Cut away everything that doesn't look like the elephant. What else would you do with him? He cuts away everything that doesn't look like him. Okay? A sculptor gradually shapes a rough stone into a masterpiece. Now, by the way, that's what he calls you. You are his masterpiece. You are his workmanship, the work of his fingers. Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us a long time ago. Point number 7, the Spirit's service serves through us. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Oh, you thought you were down there just for your own? You were down there just to have a good time now that you got saved? No. Pay attention to this one. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all. The Holy Spirit works through you for the profit of everybody. Okay? He gives spiritual gifts. Romans 12:5-6-8. Having then given gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesy, then prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or minister, then let it be our ministering. He who teaches, let him teach. He who exhorts in exhortation, exhort. He who gives liberally, let him lead with diligence. He who shows mercy and cheerfulness, let him show mercy. He gives different gifts and he wants you to use them. Your gifts are not for you. Did you know that? You got a gift? Some people, I don't know what my gift is, but whatever it is, it ain't for me.
It ain't the gift.
Okay? Your gift is to teach the other body and to exhort other people in the body of Christ to help the body of Christ. That's what your gift is for. It's not for you. He glorifies Christ. He directs Christian service. Romans 8:14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He glorifies Christ. John 16:14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Illustration, a spotlight never points to itself. It points to the main attraction. Used to be the circuses, they'd have that big spotlight going around. Well, it doesn't point to the circus, it points to you, it points back to him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's job is to point you back to Christ. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to every believer. He saves us, he settles us, he shows us, he strengthens us, he sanctifies us, and serves through us. The Spirit's ministry today is not primarily signs and wonders and miracles, but the inward working of the forming of Christ in the believer. That's what he's doing today. He ain't out here to do wonders. That's what you know. When was the last time you saw the Red Sea split open? Haven't seen that in a couple thousand years. Today, he's forming the body of Christ. That's what his job is today. Christ, he forms the inward working of Christ in the believer through rightly dividing the Word of God. Rightly dividing the Word of God means you need to understand what it's actually saying. Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's trying to form Christ in you. So what does that look like today? Trust the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you were also saved. If you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. You need to hold fast to what this book says. Well, because especially now, there's going to be a lot of things that are, oh, no, that's not exactly true. And Satan is very good at taking the word and just twisting it a little bit. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. That, until you find out that it's not. For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. There again. Keep your mind in the Scriptures. Treasure the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. So how do you do that? A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible says to study the word to be show yourself approved. It doesn't say to come on Sunday morning and listen to it. It says study it. Not read it, study it. There's a difference between reading it. Oh, blah, 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 okay. What did you remember? I don't know. Didn't get nothing. Study it to show yourself approved. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Final thought, and we'll close on this. The Spirit saves us, seals us, settles us, shows us, strengthens us, sanctifies us, and serves through us. Ephesians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The evidence of a Spirit-filled believer is not merely emotional excitement, but a Christ-centered life, grounded in sound doctrine, going in grace, faithfully serving in the body of Christ. That's what we're doing today. We are here to serve in the body of Christ. We're not here for yourself. You're not here for me. You're not here for Pastor Bob. You're to serve the body of Christ. Father, I thank you. We thank you that your word is still alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing right down to the bone and the marrow. Father, we thank you. We hope that this message just continues to make us grow and make us think about who you are inside of us. We just glorify your name. Glory to the King.
Amen.
Amen.